Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Great to have you along for another look at all things Scottish. Stay in touch between shows in a variety of ways. Get more information on each podcast at our website, simplyscottish.com. Be part of our conversation on Facebook and get regular updates and a chance every month to win Scottish music. facebook.com/simplyscottish. And our Twitter handle is, you guessed it, @simplyscottish. On this episode of the podcast, we highlight the music and story of Scottish singer-songwriter Maeve O'Boyle. To start things off, here's a song from her debut 2009 album All My Sins. This is Taxi. This is Simply Scottish. Join the conversation at facebook.com/simplyscottish. On this episode, we shine the spotlight on Maeve O'Boyle. Hailing from Glasgow, O'Boyle developed an early interest in music and was already established on the Glasgow music scene by the age of 15. Her big start came after winning an award at a Celtic Connections Festival in 2006. Soon afterwards, O'Boyle signed with Scottish label Lynn Records, best known for making high-end audio equipment and recordings. Her debut album, All My Sins, was released in 2009 to critical and popular acclaim. 2012 sees the release of her sophomore album. I spoke to Maeve from her home in Glasgow about how she got into her music, her career so far, and what she does when she's not playing music.
It sounds like you got into music at an early age. Can you tell us a bit about how you started out?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a very musical family and with sort of Irish parents and living in Scotland, music's a very integral part to life. And, you know, at parties when we were young, my brother and I were young, if you couldn't play an instrument, you had to sing. So I was singing from I was, maybe 3 or 4. And then started to get into rock music and rock bands in my early teenage years and wanted to learn guitar. So started writing songs and learning guitar when I was about 13 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And, penning songs around then. And it kind of all escalated from there, you know, from singing in local choruses. My dad used to take me to local folk clubs where I would basically go in the back door because I was underage and you know, sing a song and then go out the back door again, you know. So so I was kind of encouraged to play from a very young age. But it probably all really started for me when I was 13. And then I left school when I was 16 to pursue music and was really lucky that my mum and dad agreed to sort of, you know, allow me to not get a job and things for a year and see how music went. And I was just really lucky enough that I got picked up by a manager off the back of a sort of big competition in Glasgow.
Yeah, so you
and
had
that
some...
was the start of it. Never looked back.
Wow, you had some family support and some encouragement to go into music, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, mum and dad are they're fantastic supporters of music and of just kind of chasing down your dream until you can't do it anymore. You know, their own music collection was probably a very big influence to me when I was younger, and you know, I couldn't have done it without their support, and still, you know, it's really important. So, but music was really a family thing. You know, we had record nights and stuff where my dad would play his vinyls and stuff on records and some new cassettes and things that we had, and when CD was just coming and all this kind of thing. So it was a very musical upbringing, you know.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky.
Well, you really began to get people's attention at the Celtic Connections Festival in 2006. Can you describe that experience?
Yeah, I mean, for those people who have never experienced Celtic Connections, it's a month-long festival in Glasgow during the kind of quieter months of music. So it normally happens in January and February. And the world's best folk and kind of alt folk artists come to play, people that have Celtic Connections, as the name suggests. And so it was always a big, big ambition of mine to play at the festival in some capacity. And it came off the back of a gig that I was doing up in Aberdeen. And this lady who ran a stage at Celtic Connections saw me play in Aberdeen and encouraged me to send a demo into the Danny Kyle stage, which is a stage at Celtic Connections for up-and-coming artists and new artists. And so I did. I sent my demo away and got a phone call and told that I would be playing on the Danny Kyle stage, which was just thrilling. I think I was 18 years old at the time, so
uh-huh.
It was you know, the big step for me, the biggest gig probably I had ever done. And basically Danny's were a kind of competition, and at the end there was a winner, and that year I won the Danny for the Danny Kyle stage. And I think because of the kind of connections, because of their kind of status within the UK music scene, and was a real prestige, you know, to play in at Celtic Connections.
Uh-huh.
That sort of encouraged people to ask a few questions about me, and find out who I was, and you know, whether there was more of the music I was writing, and I got spotted by a manager who read about me in the local paper, and that kind of really all snowballed from there, and all went very quickly from there. But that I definitely see that as the kind of turning point to everything.
Yeah. And all that led to your first album, All My Sins, in 2009 on Lynn Records.
Indeed.
What made you decide to work with the Lynn label, and what was the response to that album?
Well, Lynn are a very special label, and basically I had been approached by a few different labels through my management, and this was all very new to me. You know, it was very overwhelming to think that you know, as an artist, you get to the stage or the kind of mecca of having a record deal, and so it was a big decision for me to make. And the two A&R people at Lynn came to a show, and they had a very personal approach to them. You know, they wanted to know about me, they wanted to know about my music and why I was writing the songs I was writing. And I remember that before a show in Glasgow, they came to my dressing room and they asked if I would play just an acoustic song for them. So I played a song called Faith and Home, which is probably my favourite song from All My Sins.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of smiled at each other and said, you know, it was really good to meet you. And then they kind of disappeared, and I never saw them for a few weeks until I got the call to say that they were interested in signing me for the first record.
Huh.
And it was the personal approach, I think, that really sold it to me. You know, a lot of other labels do everything through your management and everything through phone calls and never really take the time to come and speak to you as the artist. And that really appealed to me, that they were really interested in me. I was very young at the time. They were interested in giving me time to develop and work on songs, which is why, you know, it took sort of 3 years from being noticed to actually getting the record out. So it's been a really great relationship. And when we finally got All My Sins released in 2009, the response was phenomenal. I think we've not received anything less than a 4 or 5 star review in any of the press, and I think, you know, a lot of that is probably down to, you know, the fantastic musicians and producers that I worked with as well. It was a real team effort, and something I'm really, really proud of. You know, as I look into my next record, it's also something rather large to live up to.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm excited about that.
For all my sins, he's turned a blind eye. For all my black, it seems I'm basking light. For all those lines I've crossed, my feet have never caught fire. I've been keeping balance on this high wire. And it's not easy seamless. On the inside, I'm just like you. And if I ever let you down, I don't know what I'd do. I'll say I'm sorry now in case I don't pull through. I guess I'm just the great pretender.
Well, you're described as a singer and a songwriter who crafts catchy pop songs with a folk twist. Can you talk about some of the influences that have informed your style as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, going way back, people like Christy Moore, who was a big folk artist, and Mary Chaitin Carpenter, who's a sort of country artist, were two huge influences when I was growing up. Mainly because that was, you know, my mum and dad's record collection, and that's what I listened to before I really formed my own opinion about music. In my teenage years, I loved like punk rock and punk pop, like the Green Days of this world, and I thought that, you know, as a teenager, they kind of spoke to me, you know, lyrically and stuff about, you know, hating school and all that kind of, you know, wanting to be a musician and the world not understanding, and all that angst was just brilliant writing material for me as a teenager. And then I really, really got into Bruce Springsteen, and, you know, for as long as I can remember, have been an absolute crazy fan of Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
I love a lot of the imagery that he uses, and a lot of the kind of word choice, and I really like lyrics. Lyrics are my big thing, you know, and really loving that. But you know, some current pop music like Adele really speaks to me as well. Really enjoying that at the moment as well. So it's kind of, it's very mixed. But I would say probably at the core was a real country influence growing up, and maybe some of the meanings the song meanings of the folk world. I think the folk world always, you know, the songs always meant something. You know, there was always a story to be had, and I really like trying to craft my own stories, you know, from ideas and from my own world. I mean, Butterfly that you played on your show last time was a song about a friend of mine who had a drug addiction.
I'm looking for the time of my life edging towards.
It was about a friend who had a drug addiction, and you know, so I felt like that song had meaning, but at the same time, it was still me, and I was crafting my own stories from my angst-ridden years.
Sure, yeah.
Of being a teenager. Yeah. So sometimes when we listen to music, we kind of we zone out from the lyrics, and we just hear the music, and that's great. But I've never had that ability. You know, if a lyric's not strong in a song for me, I tend to be very, you know, the song kind of goes over my head. I'm very much attracted to stories and to the feelings it evokes, and that's really important to me. You know, when I go into studio or write a song or I'm performing, that people connect with the song, and then, you know, hopefully with me through the song. And it's a really good way of breaking the ice with an audience is to have a song that's really strong in meaning. Butterfly has always been one of those songs that, you know, I still remember how I felt when I was writing it. And Facing Home off the record is another one. It's because I've been able to be so emotive in it, it's very then easy for me to sort of give that to an audience, which I think is really important.
Besides music, what gets you up in the morning? What other things do you like to do with your time?
Well, at the moment, I'm just about to get married, so the wedding plans tend to take a lot of my day. I'm a big family person. I spend a lot of time with my family, doing silly things like, you know, watching movies and listening to records. But I, a couple of years ago, I founded a music school for young people to sort of try and get into music and to meet, you know, music professionals and things. So I spend a lot of my time in the community at the moment when I've got time teaching songwriting and singing and music, and it's becoming a really successful school as well. And so I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, how can we get more information on that? Is there a website for the music school?
Yeah, we're just in the processes of doing that. It's called the MIMA Project, which is MIMA, which is Music Industry Made Accessible. And we cover the whole of Glasgow at the moment, and are hoping to spread our wings a wee bit and hopefully engage with other young people from you know, the whole country eventually. But I really enjoyed that. It gives you another, it reminds you of what you were like when you were their age.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, because I think as you grow up, you don't lose your passion, but passion is kind of in a different form for you now. You know, when you're a kid and you've got, you know, your only kind of concern is homework and school and the sort of politics and dynamics of that songwriting and everything is this fantastic release and enjoyable thing. And then when you kind of do it as a career, it's an enjoyable hobby slash career that, you know, you kind of pay your bills with, and it becomes a different dynamic. And it's really, really good to go back and see music at its most innocent form and basic form. And when there's so much excitement around it, it's a fantastic environment to be in. It gives me a chance to sort of give a bit back as well.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's been fantastic.
You hail from Glasgow, which is Scotland's largest city.
I do indeed.
What do you like most about Glasgow? And what do you think makes the city stand out?
I think Glasgow is a fantastically cultural place. And, you know, there's always something going on music-wise, you know, and for musicians and for people who enjoy music and the arts. You know, you can't walk down our main street here without something going on, and I think I love that. I love the vibrancy of it, and the sort of, it's not too busy, but there's always something going on. And I think the people here are just so welcoming and so warm. And I think if you come from the other side of the coast, I think that there's a perception that the Glaswegians and are not the friendliest, but they genuinely are fantastic people. And I've never ever felt kind of out of place here, if that makes sense. You know, like, grew up here, but it's a fantastically vibrant, friendly city, and there's always somewhere to go. A lot of people, when they're starting out in music, think that London is the place to be, and you know, I think I'd like to think that my story probably goes to show that Glasgow's as good a place to be, you know, to get started, you know, you've probably got more chance in a city where it's slightly smaller and, you know, there's
absolutely
more talent. So.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Well, what can we look forward to from Maeva Boyle in 2012?
Well, I'm currently writing my second album, which I'm hoping to go and record during the summer. And got a few live events and shows into the autumn. So hopefully back out on tour again in the autumn. So. Yeah, so it's kind of an exciting year. Maybe a bit quiet on kind of the record front, but I released a small EP in July of last year as a kind of like taster for kind of the way things are going to go. So
yeah,
it's an exciting year. Lots of writing, lots of studio time, and a tour hopefully in the autumn.
That's excellent. And you know, I think a lot of artists try to get something out on a regular basis, but good things take time, you know, and I'm glad that you have the time to put something really special together for your follow-up. Well, Maeve, thanks for joining us, and I wish you all the best as you continue your music career.
Thank you very, very much. Much appreciated.
That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. Visit our website, simplyscottish.com, for more information on the content and music of this and other episodes. Don't forget to join us on Facebook for podcast updates and prize giveaways. And if you have iTunes, you can subscribe to Simply Scottish and get new episodes automatically. We'll leave you with another song by Maeve O'Boyle. This one's called Facing Home. For more information on Maeve and her music, visit maeveoboyle.com. I'm Andrew McDermott. Tune in next time for another exploration of all things Scottish on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
And I can almost feel I could.